have unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
That's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they a government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being!
A time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop! And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all!
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right. You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio! The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Aaron?
Good. I apologize if people were waiting and they couldn't hear us. Because, yes, please do. I'm hoping you get a resounding yes instead of a resounding, who are you? Well, it's going okay. It's going okay. I've been kind of tired of late. Yeah, hold on, I'll put my screen back in a second. I've been kind of tired of late. I just, I don't know, I think the new job is just kind of, Yeah, you know, exactly. Hanging out with the water cooler. Right. Do you get free Keurig coffee? Oh, really? Is it the McDowell's instead of McDonald's, like the McDowell's? What'd you do that? What's that? Uh-oh, who are you not hearing? Okay, say hi, this is... Hi, this is Ed. Can you hear Ed? Testing 1, 2, 3. Ed, this is. Well, guest audio off on B. Yeah, well, you know, that's what happens. Oh, because it's mixed. Oh, my God. No, it should be fine, though. This is, it is definitely less than fine. So you can't hear Aaron. You guys can't hear the wonderful, speaking of Aaron. Okay, well, me, okay, in the meantime, I am so sorry. We're going to reboot this lovely machine of mine. And when we come back, we should do it. So in the meantime, I'll just tell you my day, since people can't hear you. I'll just tell you about my day, and Aaron will talk to me. And everyone, because he, now. And if Aaron talks and nobody hears, does he really make a sound is the question. See, he said me and the tree yelling, we know. See, but you guys don't know that. Okay. So I'm no, it shouldn't be. You're coming in. I can hear you. You can hear me. So it should all be fine. That's going to the Yeah, I know why it's not working. Yeah, because you're coming in on a different channel, and I will. That's the beauty of channels. So, hold on a second. My iPad is coming back up. And he is only holding because he can't say anything, and you still can't hear him. But it's coming back up. Come on. So, for all that's listening, I started a new job, and it's been my second week. I finished 2 full weeks and started my third week, and it just tires me out. I mean, if any of you started a new job, and it's just getting into the new job, learning, you know, where everything is, and whenever you, especially when you start remote, and then you don't know where, you don't know who your coworkers are, you don't know what you don't know, you can't just go down the hall and ask, hey, Jack, can you help me out here, because you don't even know who Jack is, you know, and so Indeed says, yes, is this my conscious talking? We haven't. This is what's holding us back. Telling. Yeah, I know. So it's just tired, and so it's good that, like, you know, you're working remotely because, you know, you get a lunch hour, and I just, you know, I take a nap. So, have you ever done that? Been able to take a nap? No, when you're working from home. And Aaron just went bye-byes completely. Oh, okay. You went... Okay, here, try and call me again. And we're going to try this one more time. And hopefully this is going to work. You're going to drop me and call me again. Yes. Okay, and hopefully this Aaron comes back. And so I don't have to cry on air. I mean, it's good. You have to drop. Like, call me back. I need you on my other system here. Yeah, I'm hanging up on Aaron. Okay, Aaron's gonna call me back. Aaron is calling me back. Aaron, are you there? Aaron, did you call me back? Anybody? I can't hear Aaron at all now. Aaron, are you there? He's on the dark side of the moon here, ladies and gentlemen, and hopefully he will emerge.
Is this better?
That's okay. I can hear you now. Let's see if I can hear you through here. Okay, Aaron, say something.
Hi.
Oh, he's mouthing words to me.
Can't hear me?
He's mouthing words to me. Okay, now can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
No, I can't hear you for some reason. What? You know, when technology doesn't work, it is just annoying, is it not? Can I get a 1-1 there? And now Aaron's not calling me back. He's gone. Aaron is gone. Well, we had plenty of good stuff to talk about tonight. Seriously. Okay. Now we're there. You're there.
I'm here.
All right. We're gonna plug in. I can hear you. I can win. A second. Aaron's gone. Okay. All right, can people hear you now?
I don't know. Let me ask the chat room.
Yes, ask the chat room. Can people hear Aaron? He's going to talk. Aaron, talk.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me? I can hear Aaron Nowles. Sounds good.
If you...
Well, what? Troy Boy!
Nice.
We can hear him.
Good. Does he sound good? Does Aaron sound clear? I guess is the other question.
Does he sound clear? Do I ever sound clear? Ever clear. I don't think the band Ever Clear, by the way.
Father of Mine.
Father of Mine. Good song. Good song.
For sure. Well,
we watched the Pearl Jam Unplugged special from way, way back when. It was on our DVR for many, many months, it seems. And it was great. Loved it. And I was reminiscing back to our days at Penn State, when that Penn State branch campus, when Pearl Jam's 10 came out. Man, it was back in the glory days. Love that album.
Oh, my gosh. Like, somebody seemed to be playing it every day when you...
It's either that or Nevermind, right?
Yep, exactly. The Nirvana album.
So also I think that year came Metallica's
Black Album.
Black Album, Enter Sandman, among others. I think Unforgiven was on that too.
It is, yes.
Yeah, it was a big year in music. Big year in music. I don't know that I've ever had a year since where I've liked music as much.
There seemed to be, there was that, was it the X? Or what was it that played
like? 1059 the X? Yeah.
And that's
down in your neck of the woods?
It seemed to have just all the really cool music. I mean, it was just, there was just so much cool music then. It just exploded. Anybody?
Yes. Yes, it did. Wow, they're on A2. Wow, man, it's just, you know what? I think, you know what? I don't put much stock in this. I have to take a break. Because we're talking about cool music. We can jump back to it. I don't usually put much stock into astrology. However, it's my understanding there's some sort of Mercury madness going on right now.
Mercury madness.
Some Mercury-ish, Mercury-esque type prograde, retrograde, maybe, or, you know, skip the grade, perhaps. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know about astrology. Don't know about it. But something amiss in the stars, they say.
Really?
And with A and B going down, I'm going to say that might be true. It might be true. There's some sort of crazy, you know, Greek deity type Roman planetary pool that was knocking both our shows down. But you know what? We're back up. Sounds like A's back up. Revolution Radio doesn't stand down any gods or whatnot trying to kill our radio progression transmissions. We will prevail. That's what I say.
Right.
We hear Revolution Radio. We will be the last one standing.
This I agree.
No matter who. That's what I say. Anyways, we're talking about music.
That we were. And you're going to kill me.
I'm going to kill you?
I think so.
You going to change the soundboard again?
Well, not exactly.
You can do something so bad as going to knock down Studio A again. Yes, I can hear you. Yes.
No, no more changing soundboards. Done.
I got to reboot Studio A and the iPad.
Yeah. Man, so Studio A was down too? What was their problem?
I don't know what their problem was, but Mitch just came on too around the same time. Apparently Mercury is not in retrograde because there's a site, this is fantastic, called ismercuryretrograde.com.
And
in mercuryretrograde.com, no, period. Something else must be bumming you out.
It's not that.
That's fantastic. I love that.
It's not that.
And what is even what does Mercury retrograde even mean? I wonder.
Let's see. Metro.
So does it appear weird in the orbit or something? Like, depending on where you're in the sky, it's somewhere else. And when they thought it was a helio, or not helio because it's Helios, it's the sun. But what do they call the Earth centric thing? Terra centric, maybe.
Yeah, I would say.
Terracentric, whatever model the galaxy, whatever. Anyway, just planet hunk of rock. It ain't doing nothing to us. I know because I went to ismercuryretrograde.com and it says no. So no hunk of rock to blame for this tonight, other than the hunk of rock we're standing on right now, which admittedly is having some pretty crazy stuff going on. Do you think Mars and Venus are like, what is Earth doing now to us? Like, it's just, they're just floating there. It's like, man, Earth better just settle down.
Well, you know,
getting bad vibes off Earth.
And they can actually, I mean, they actually, you know, can see now. I mean, like Beetlejuice can't see now.
No.
Did you know that Beetlejuice's dim has dimmed down? Did you know that?
Yes, I did. I did know Beetlejuice is dimming.
And did you know why it's dimming?
I read one theory. I gotta go look it up now. I forget. What is it?
Well, apparently that's something like part of the, there was a big explosion on Beetlejuice.
Yes.
And that through this,
the explosion itself, we're seeing the end of the explosion.
That there was this big cloud that is just, that's just kind of, it's hanging over part of Beetlejuice, so it's like,
and it's obscuring the rest of the view because of the cloud, right? Because it exploded the stuff off.
I think they're going through. I think they went through some kind of global warming. Kind of, you know, they use too many coal fired power plants.
Right. Whatever giant things died in the ground, and then the littler animals used to fuel or whatever their things that they got around in.
And I think it's I think it caught up to them.
Yes.
So it's,
there's like a Greta Thunberg alien that's like really mad at the prior generation. She can't see Earth anymore.
Right.
She liked Earth. It's a little dot in the sky to her. I don't really see Earth, I'm sure. Yeah, Beetlejuice star, but this would be someone living on a star too, which would be pretty weird. But go with it. So she observed Earth. I don't know how. And it was mad. She's mad at them. So yeah, I believe it.
And well, and this happened what, 642 years ago? Because that's
exactly 642 years
ago. 642 and a half years ago, I'd say.
Ish,
yeah. That's how long it takes light to get here. So I hope it's cleaned up. I mean, I hope they only went through that for like a year or so, and then they listened to Al Gore, of their world, and they
Alien Gore, get it? Alien.
Got it.
See?
Wow.
On the spot comedy.
There we go. And so I hope they listened to him.
Yes.
And they stopped. You know, they started doing trading carbon credits.
Yep.
And, you know, Carbon said, hey, I'm neutral, I'm Scandinavia, and everything turned back to normal.
It's all good. That cloud will be gone in no time.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. So, I mean, that's like history. We can learn from history today.
From Beetlejuice.
In the present.
You know what else might have happened is that someone might have said Beetlejuice three times.
Yes.
And it was just pulling Madcap zany hijinks, and then something blew up. That could have happened too.
That might. Well, it could be anything.
Anything can happen in outer space. That's what I know. Oh. Except it being in Mercury retrograde tonight, because it's not. And if you want to know why, you can just go check it yourself at ismercuryinretrograde.com.
And if you want to know what retrograde means,
you have to go on Wikipedia, because they don't really share that for you.
It's the retrograde motion. It talks about
retrograde motion.
Yes.
Wait a minute. So what's how's it so good? Tell me more. What does that mean?
It's the retrograde motion is an apparent change.
There you go. See, that's what I'm saying.
Not a real change, but it's the apparent change in movement of the planet to the sky. It is not real.
And then the planet. If you had an actual Mercury retrograde, like it's just like, oh, I'm over. I'm going this way now.
It's like as if the Mars was doing the moonwalk.
Right.
It's walking backwards, you know, and it's like.
Well, this all has to do with our perspective in the sky.
Right. So.
Yes.
Right. It's like, whoa, what are you doing? Now, but I mean, for the average folk, you know, they see a star up there. They're not tuned in to like look at it. So they're not going to see a retrogression, right? They're not going to see it like just like fall out of the sky or walk backwards or anything like that.
They're thinking, hey, that dot, we were expecting that dot to be over here.
Right.
Now that dot's over there.
Right.
Which is really weird because we know Earth is the center of the universe. Oh, this is funny. Troy points out that dog is always snoring. It is always snoring. That's Lucy. Flight gunfight mascot, Lucy, the snoring dog.
Right. It's not. It's kind of like the official seal. If you don't hear the snore, it's not really us. We've been taken over.
Yes, exactly.
So I
think, yeah, like Lucy is part seal. Yeah. Related to the dogs, right? Don't you mean?
Yeah, that's not really what I meant.
Seals, right, like the royal
seal. She's the
search. Yes, I get it.
She's the seal.
Can't
yes.
pass up a chance to be a seal.
Jim. Well, thank you.
Because how often do you get a shit space?
No, you don't.
Not often at all.
How often do you have a dog ruining your show every night? Every
you know, I mean, we're on. You know, like Lucy, I think gets some fan mail.
She probably gets more fan mail than me.
These guys would settle down a bit because I could just listen to Lucy and fall asleep, said one fan mail. That's not true. It'd be funny if we got someone who wanted to listen to Lucy like as white noise. Or what do those people do? And they like hearing noises. Like they go to YouTube and listen to
What are the SDNR or something?
The signal noise ratios? Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe that would be a good use of our show. People could just they listen in the background. It calms them down just because Lucy's snoring.
Yeah, maybe. I really do struggle getting in the mindset of somebody who listens to like small repetitive noises and finds that calming. I find it grating.
Well, I know I found it grating because I listen to what is that TikTok, and it's like you know inevitably it's like a 16-second segment that keeps repeating over and over again, and by the third time, I want to scratch my eyes out and like.
Right.
Put
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Put a nice pick through my eardrums.
And I'm saying this is someone who chews nuts loudly. Anyone who's in like a work area chewing nuts loudly for a period of time, I find to be less than productive to my daily work life. I'll say that.
Chewing nuts loudly.
Yeah, chewing nuts loudly. There's another guy that he'll eat. Like chips.
Mm.
So loud to start. You know, crunch, crunch.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're like 20 feet maybe, 30 feet maybe from like a cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
Where just go kill that bag, bud. You know?
Yeah. Right, yeah.
And, and not enough, but here's what baffles me. You've got full chip access. You've got your loan. It's your bag of chips. Why then, not only are you eating the chips, but the bag has to rattle.
Right.
Like more than a little bit. And you know, obviously it's a big bag of chips because he's eating a lot of them. Right, right. Like, it's an open bag. You should be able to just tilt the bag.
Yeah.
Get the chip you're looking for. Be on your way.
I mean, now can you tell? Is this a chip bag or not?
No. A Kit Kat fracture will never duplicate the stiff,
you're
noisy
right.
crunchiness of like a Ruffles.
The foily kind.
The foily kind. Utz in the area we're in. Hers. What are their chip brands? You know, speaking of chip brands, the chip I would love to try is the Canadian All Dressed or Full Dressed, I think.
What?
So have you not heard? You've not heard of these, yes?
I don't. No, no. I guess not.
It's like a thing. It's like this thing that you get in Canada, and they've got a version of it. And for some reason, like the United States of America can't get this good chip apparently. But if I'm not mistaken, it's like a ketchup kind of flavor. I'm gonna look at All Dressed chips. If you ever watch the show Letterkenny, we'll make reference to All Dressed. Yep, All Dressed flavored potato chips.
Assassins in French.
Yes.
Chips are
Assassins, it sounds like in French.
Yeah, right. Assassins.
Potato chip flavors of barbecue, ketchup. There you go. And it's Ruffles. Frito-Lay, American, not Canadian. Frito-Lay manufacturer began selling All Dressed Ruffles in the United States. But apparently it's not the same. It's not the level of seasoning, I guess.
All Dressed chips.
Barbecue, ketchup, sour cream, onion, salt, and vinegar.
All Dressed chips are now sold in the U.S.
They're not the same ones. I've asked real Canadians, and they sort of scoff. They laugh knowingly. Knowingly they laugh, Ed. Not just, oh, yeah, those aren't the chips. They're like, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Those, you think those are All Dressed?
Hey.
Okay. I'm going to go out now. I can't. So it doesn't matter. They laugh. They mock us.
You know what? I want to try those now. I also want to try back bacon. That sounds amazing.
Back bacon, you mean back fat? Bacon, which isn't that just a pork belly?
I don't know. No, is it?
It's just the fat of a pig rendered, cooked, rendered to be soap.
So wait, I'm looking up back bacon here. it's like pork back bacon. So it's not like real bacon.
No, I think it's just like like the bacon fat. You know,
I'm looking at it here.
It's just like all that.
Huh. I wonder if that, okay, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at a picture of it right now.
Find a butcher, you'll buy it. You'll be able to buy it.
All right. I
like a real butcher. Don't go like, Giant Eagle. No, I have a Giant Eagle. You gotta find like a real butcher.
Right.
Not like they open the pack of meat up and cut it up a little bit. Somebody who like knew the pig before the pig was no longer with us, we'll say. That kind of butcher.
Well,
gotta find that kind of butcher. They're near you. Come on.
Yeah, I know. They're definitely butchers. Definitely butchers here. Okay. Well, anyway, so
butchers, bakers, candlestick makers, all of that.
They have all that in Pittsburgh.
All of it. Anyway, so you want to try back bacon? Yeah, but good. There's probably some uppity, like, craft, farm-to-table, restaurant place you could go to. A curbside pickup and pay, $30 probably?
Probably.
For, like it'll be four squares of back bacon. Probably about as big as, as many Snicker bars. Cost you $30. That's what I think you'd be able to get. You should be able to get like 20 pounds of it for that price, but they'll sell you a cooked little thing. Like it's a scallop.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what they'll say. They do have scallops too. Like, oh, you don't need more. What do you mean I don't need more? Tell me what I need. And when I look for scallops, here's three scallops. That'll be $40.
I need to get a good butcher in town for sure.
You do.
I do. So, speaking of
butchers.
Speaking of butchers, so I started my new job.
Yep.
And I'm not a butcher.
We did a whole bit. It was funny. So get this, room and people listening. The bag was Ed's working remote, and we're talking about how he's touring the building. See? We had a whole little bit, and it was lost into nothingness. Audio difficulties because Mercury wasn't in retrograde.
Right.
So we don't know what to blame. But yeah, you're telling us about your new job.
And Lucy is snoring in the background. And I have to introduce her to everybody. You know, yes, that's my dog snoring in the background. Oh, I was wondering. I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. That's Lucy. And then I've gotten actually pretty good comments, you know, like, I'm glad that your dog is happy and she wants to be by you and snoring. It's okay. It's comforting.
Do we get emails about that?
We haven't yet. We haven't yet. They're like, oh, you know, how's Lucy doing today? So she's become the popular topic of discussion again. My dog, people have never seen her. You know, they just heard her snore. And
exactly. For all they know, she is a recording. She could be a seal. The seal of a polite gunfight. A seal just going,
That's right.
Throw some fish every so often.
And this is fun. We have people in the chat that would rather listen to Mitch on replay than listen to Studio B. So that's always nice.
Nice.
I feel good.
Where's that? I don't see that.
Replay on A Talk Mitch. We love to hear the mechanic.
We love you. We love to hear you, the mechanic.
Who's the mechanic? Mitch is the mechanic? I thought it was Mike.
I don't know.
I thought it was Mike with the mechanic.
Mike and mechanics.
Yeah. Huh. I don't know. Things are changing, you know?
Everything changes. Too much changes. Anyway.
So
we're talking about your new job. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, no, it's a good job. It's very challenging and there's a lot to do and you know, I have to come up to speed with
So how do you like talk to new people then? Like, do you have like Zoom meetings where you like introduce yourself? I would hate that.
No, I just look at different teams. I mean, because I'm working with different systems,
mm-hmm.
I have to introduce myself
sure.
to different teams. And, you know, that doesn't always work out for me. for instance, you know, this one person was busy, you know, and I hopped to somebody else. And right away, they accused me of engineer shopping, like, oh, you don't like the answer that someone else gave you, or they're too busy and they're helping you and they're too busy.
The federal crime of engineer shopping.
Yeah,
maybe you don't want to talk about job too much, but wasn't the idea that they just didn't have time to talk to you?
The other person did not have time to talk to me, so I went.
So
to
you thought, oh, maybe what I'll do, new job, want to show that I'm a good performer, maybe I'll talk to somebody else.
Right, right.
That apparently is no go.
That isn't. That's a no go.
Oh, sorry, talk to someone else? No, I'm sorry. That looks bad.
Yeah, so
I likened it to going to Subway, having one sandwich artist be working with one person, and you saying, ah, I'll talk to this other sandwich artist. And then hearing them say, I'm sorry, I'll wait on you next, but you don't talk to other sandwich artists, thank you. And then they continue making their sandwich, which would seem a little rude to me, I would think. That's my take.
Right. Oh, Joy Boy says that we were jealous because A is listening to Mitch reruns. And I don't know if we were jealous. I was just kind of laughing.
I was a little jealous. I'll say it. I was a little jealous. Maybe Ed wasn't. Ed's kind of post-jealousy.
Well, you know,
it's very zen.
It's, you know, you just can't take things too seriously, right? Like the person that, you know, accused me of engineer shopping, you know, she set up a meeting to talk to me, and then she accused me of engineer shopping, whatever that means. And then she
sounds like it's a crime.
She like canceled my
meeting.
She canceled my meeting and said, you don't do that here. That's the first rule. And then stopped talking to me, and then talked to me since.
Well,
it's like, I just laughed about it. It's just, you know,
if there was a popular kids table, it sounds like you wouldn't be sitting there.
I know.
That's the impression I get. Maybe it would be, but that's the impression I get.
But it's a virtual. It's a virtual workspace. I don't know anybody, and I'm already. I'm already not invited to the table.
It's a new low. I mean, I don't even need to be there for people that don't like that. How is that possible? Wow. I'd say it's like high school, but at least I needed to show up before I got picked.
Right. I mean, just the random assignment of being the loser. I mean,
exactly.
When being there is, you know, that's a step up from you're here, I don't like you. I don't even know you.
Do engineer shop?
I heard, right. So I heard you're the guy that engineer shops. You like.
He's the ESer.
It wasn't even a thing before.
No. I'm actually not even sure it's a thing now.
I talk to people, you know, like, is this a thing? No.
Did they say it was a thing, though?
No, nobody said it's a thing.
Oh, yeah. Engineer shop. Who'd you shop?
You talk to one person, and if they're busy, you wait.
Like, you got it. Here I am. It's like you're a corgi. Just wait at the door.
Just a blinking.
Is that my log? Is my logs here? Do you have the log I asked for? The rule I need?
I'll just be this blinking cursor right here.
Beep, beep, beep. Please.
Ah, jeez. That's funny. Anyway, again, I mean, just laugh at it. I got unfriended today in Facebook. Did you?
Well, I just kind of figured that's kind of thing.
Yeah, but I mean,
what happened?
Well, I put up a meme. I thought it was funny.
Oh no, you put up a meme.
I made my own little meme. You know.
Oh, you made a meme.
Well, I mean, kind of a meme.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? I just said, you know, I'm putting together my coronavirus-proof costume for Halloween. Yes. I'm going as a protester.
Wow, a coronavirus joke and a protest joke, and it didn't go over well on Facebook? You don't say.
And I got a lot of laughs, but this one person was a little plussed over it, as it were.
So did... maybe I'll put it this way. Do they identify as male or female?
You know, female.
Okay.
I mean, I've not asked her pronouns, but I know her in the past, and it's female.
As female. Okay.
Yes. And so she got into an argument with one of my friends, and they went back and forth. And then it wasn't enough. She turned it on me. She's like, well, why don't you just go to a real protest instead of pretending?
Ah, okay.
And then she said,
I defriend thee.
And I said, you know, I spend my time, I involve my time caring for people around me and spreading the love. And she liked that, and then she unfriended me. So
from the depths of hell, I stab at thee. Did she say that?
She didn't, but she could have. She might have, but
that'd be pretty money if she did.
I didn't receive it because she'd already unfriended me.
Like, she already unfriended you.
You know, she would have been like, man, I should have said that. And then unfriended him.
Yeah. Anytime you quote AAB, it's a winner. I say it's a winner.
Right. And, or Jaws, you know. I mean, they're pretty much the same story.
Yeah. They kind of are. Yeah, I would say. I mean, it's a giant thing being hunted.
In the sea. And, you know, the captain kind of goes crazy over it, you know.
Obsessed.
Yeah, that's probably better. Yeah. Did you like Moby Dick?
I need to go back and read it because I don't think I, like, appreciated it when I first read it. It was, I mean, it had its moments. I mean, there's a lot of parts with the whale just being a whale.
Yeah, I'm sure you probably read it in second grade, too.
I was, I was like in college. I think it was like late in college. So it wasn't like anything I read in high school. Definitely didn't read it in high school.
Just familiarizing yourself with like all the parts of the ship and all the parts of, the fishing like really, equipment.
There's a lot of it. I picked up a copy that has like a, it's annotated. It's kind of cool. It's like, here's a drawing of the ship. Like, oh, this is helpful. Because man, they talk about the ship parts a lot.
Yeah, and it's just a lot to keep in your mind. And like, what's going
there
on?
There was a. Have you seen the new Dora the Explorer movie?
I haven't. My son has. He watched it without me. I want to see it.
She makes a. Like this meta woke kind of I don't know what you call it, like analysis of Moby Dick, talking about Melville, because Ishmael wasn't like properly represented or what have you.
Yeah,
and I remember thinking, wow, if you picked that all up. Like around the nautical terms, that's impressive. Because there's quite a bit of nautical terms.
Oh yes,
quite a bit.
All right,
lots and lots. I'm not a nautical guy. I haven't been on boats like.
It wasn't Jules Verne 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Well, no.
Where 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea was the nautical terms.
Yeah, right. You're all set. Leagues, 20,000 of them. You're caught up. Yeah. It's a submarine. Get it? It goes underwater.
Yep.
We're good now.
It's just a story.
We're all caught up with all the naval terminology you need for 20,000.
It feels like you're there, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. All 20,000 leagues.
And the thing went bonk.
Yep. Right. It's yeah. Like Jules Verne, I think, you know, he had a ship described to him one time. You know, he might have been on one. You know, probably not.
Right.
I guess. You know, there's water. It's a boat. It floats. What do you need to know? You're all set.
Right. You're all caught up. Right.
There's some guy that wears like a hat because he's the man in charge.
Right.
You know, he's captain or something. Him. He'll be the lead character.
Exactly. You play lead. Arg.
Arg, arg, indeed. Yeah. So I can. So the Nautilus is 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And like always, unless. What's the boat from Moby Dick?
It's the. Man, why do you have to ask me that? Oh, let me think about that. Let's see. What's the boat on from Jaws?
Oh, I don't know what the boat from Jaws is.
Oh my gosh. The boat, it's the, I can picture it. Okay, what's the boat from maybe
the Pequod. I mean, you're not going to like,
it's the Pequod,
like,
yeah.
It's just not a name you're going to like, that's like one of the, like, you want to play Stunt the Band with somebody read Moby Dick, drop the Pequod on him. Yeah, the boat from Jaws, let me see, boat from Jaws.
Wait, don't tell me. It's,
there you go. This is an obvious one.
Oh yeah,
it's an ironic one. Go ahead.
The orca. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yes. Right. Because orcas
are whales
and kill sharks.
Right.
So that's Quint being tricky. But I can tell you what was the ship that Quint went down on in during World War II. Indianapolis.
Did he? Indianapolis, huh?
Yes, it was a very bad and true story. It was an actual boat that went down. USS Indianapolis. When did it go down? Sunk 1945 by a Japanese submarine. There were quite a number of people who died and didn't die well.
Was he one of them?
No, he survived.
Oh, to make the movie. I gotcha.
Right. Yeah, well, the idea was that the survivors were being like harassed by sharks, and that's when he decided he's going to be a shark hunter. to get back at the sharks that were.
So the dialogue of the captain, where he just talks about, you know, how he was, the boat sank and, you know, and they were just floating around and the shark just came up and took little bites of people every once in a while and you never knew.
Yeah, bite them in half, they'd still be floating.
Yeah. What if that was captured, you know, from his direct experience?
I don't. Well, I mean, is it Shaw? I think the actor was. I don't know. So he was just reading the script.
No, I meant the playwright, the author.
The author, it's Benchley, Peter Benchley, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's on the Annapolis. Let me see.
I meant.
Did you read about it? You mean?
Yeah. Right.
I do not know. 1974 novel, same name, written by Peter Benchley. Let's read about Peter Benchley. Peter Benchley, American author, ocean activist. He's born in 40, so nope. I'm guessing he didn't go down to the Annapolis. he died in 2006. Sad. I don't know where they got that story from. Maybe he just figured, nah, you're floating in the water long enough, you're going to meet a shark.
It was a pretty compelling, pretty compelling story from the captain there.
Yes, it was a very compelling story. let me see here. Discovery Records. They don't talk about being eaten by sharks, which is probably a little too lurid to discuss on a failure to learn of the sinking. Yeah, I don't see anything mentioned about sharks here on the write-up. It's just that with few lifeboats and many without life jackets, the remainder of the crew was set adrift. 300 of the 1,195 crewmen went down with the ship. So that's pretty bad.
So of the three on the ship, the captain, the scientist, and the sheriff.
The sheriff.
Which is your favorite character on that?
Quint's my favorite. The captain.
The captain is your favorite, huh?
Yep, for sure.
Why do you say?
He's got the most character. He's badass.
Yeah.
You know, Dreyfus's character was cool. He was like the nerdy guy, the kind of like, he was kind of like the know-it-all.
Yeah, I mean, he does that Richard Dreyfuss laugh, you know, he does that.
Right.
And almost like now watching it, I get this feeling that, you know, he was able to, you know, be free with the character and kind of, you know, Richard Dreyfuss-esque it, you know, a little bit and like kind of make it his own and kind of archetype it himself. You know what I mean?
I think I had this discussion with my wife. I think, like, every movie, they just kind of write the script. Like, they know the words that are coming out. But you really can't tell the actor how to act. Like, you can find somebody who's got, like, who's kind of, like, matches what you're looking to go for.
Yeah.
But when it's all said and done, they kind of got to be that person.
Yeah, and Yeah, it's possible the director doesn't even know what he or she wants, right? Until they hear it, you know. Yeah, that's gonna work. You know, that's not gonna work. I need you to do something different here. You know. So,
yes.
I was actually reading today of actors that have been in the business a while. And then they actually had to like audition for something.
Oh yeah, totally they do. Absolutely.
One of them was Milton Berle.
Sure do.
He was in a lot, and he ended up being in a lot of creepy films, you know. And Disney asked him to be in one of their films, and then they asked
which one.
What was it? It was the Adventurers. What was it?
That was the one with the mice that did the rescue the kids.
Yeah, maybe.
Is that it? The Adventurers.
I think so. I don't know. Wait. Film. It was. Yeah, it's not coming up. It's not Saludos Amigos. What are you talking about that?
Saludos Amigos.
That's like the French thing. Oh, man. Well, anyway, he had an audition for it, and he was in, it was yeah, it's not going to come up, obviously. Now that I wanted to,
because you're looking for it,
right? It'll.
We could have blamed it on Mercury retrograde, but as we can tell,
I think it's the anti. I think it's because it's not in retrograde. I can't do it.
It's not.
I think so, when it is,
either is or isn't, right? It's binary. It's either retrograde or not retrograde.
I think when it is, I think that's when I, you know,
you're think, on all fours then,
right?
Firing on all cylinders.
Exactly, all four cylinders. Right. Not gonna find it. Anyway, so you know, he was kind of like he said, he's like, well, you know, if it was anyone but Disney, you know, I'd be offended, right?
I told him pound sand, but yeah, I guess.
The other one was Marlon Brando for
audition for Disney.
No, for his you know, Don Corleone. You know,
he did. Yeah, they read a bunch of different people.
Yeah, and he was you know, he could, you know, they're saying that he was probably going to be upset, you know, like he's probably going to be, you know, ticked that they wanted him to audition. So they kind of made it into like, oh, we just want to get some makeup, you know, you in makeup and, you know, see how you look on screen for your makeup. Right. So they kind of passed it off on that, and he apparently bought it. And he was actually he was actually younger than, you know, the character he was playing.
Yeah, he actually put stuff in his cheeks to
puff him out.
Buff him out. If you see Hearts of Darkness, I was going to think of Army of Darkness, but Apocalypse Now, which came out around the same time. Is that 73 or 74? you'll see him, and he's much different than Don Corleone.
Oh, yeah.
Did you watch Apocalypse Now? Oh, 79. Wow, jeez. So late. Did you see Apocalypse Now?
It's been a long time.
Do you remember the opening scene of Apocalypse Now?
No.
Okay. There's this wacky scene, and it's Martin Sheen just really, like, he's playing characters really drunk, kind of, like, stumbling around this room. And he's like, at one point, he punches his hand through glass. There's blood. And I remember thinking, wow, that, not that it wouldn't be. I was like, wow, that's very realistic. And I see Hearts of Darkness, which is the documentary, Hearts, Not Heart. It was the documentary of the making of Apocalypse Now. And I wondered how they made that scene. And it turns out Martin Sheen was just really drunk.
Really?
They filmed him and he punches through this glass, and that was real blood. It's like, okay, he punched a real mirror, and that's where that blood came from. Okay,
wow,
that's method acting.
Exactly.
And knowing that, and then looking what happened to his kid Charlie, yeah, it's not surprising.
Right, right.
Maybe not so surprising. Maybe not the show that you might think it would be.
Now we should be preparing for a break here.
Any moment.
But it's not coming up. I wonder if we're going to have a...
Listen to freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Thank you so much.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
this commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet.
I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
What?
Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Hey, we're back. We're back.
Good to be back.
It's good to be back. Man, it's I'm glad that you're back, because I wouldn't know what to do if I was talking to myself again.
I don't know what I'd be doing if I was talking to myself either, thankfully. We don't have to.
Right. We definitely don't have to. So,
look, Lucy is snoring.
Yes, Lucy is still snoring. Yes, she is. poor girl. She's had a rough year so far.
Yeah, I know. That's sad. Sorry.
But she's going to be, I think she's pulling through. She's working. She's going to make it. She's a fighter and a lover. So,
nice.
But anyway, so
so what were we saying before we were taking our break?
I know, we should do the cliffhanger. We forgot the cliffhanger.
We forgot the cliffhanger. And because it was too sudden.
When you forget the cliffhanger, you just lost when you come back.
You just did all you got then's the cliff.
And then right.
That's all that's left.
And then the momentum, you have to like, yep. Speaking of cliffs, did you see there's this, it's like a 5-minute video.
5 minutes.
Of this BMX track that these BMXers are just going down this like hillside.
Yeah, I have. It's paved, yeah?
It's mostly paved. Yeah, there's a little bit that's dirt. But it's mostly paved, yeah, and they got all these ramps set up.
They put these like homemade looking like wow, that's a great looking ramp. It's sort of like, whoa.
Like, is that gonna?
I don't know if I'd put a lot of weight on that.
Right. Good thing I'm gonna be crushing it real hard and fast.
Right. You know what? You know, it'd be a lot better if I just take that ramp at like 90 miles an hour. I'll barely know I'm there.
Right. F equals ma. What?
What?
But
F that, man. That's what FMA stands for. Yeah, but for sure.
I mean, I was looking at that, and I don't think there was like one part that I'd want to go down on my bike.
No, let alone the whole thing.
Right.
Let alone all of it.
Like I'll do this part and then I'll walk the rest. How about that?
Right. Right, for sure. I have seen that. And it's, you know, I saw another one of those videos. And, you know, I'm sure they're very sure of their skills. But it's a guy who's, like, jumping gaps on, like, a building.
Yes, yes.
And if he misses, he is going to die.
Yeah, right.
And, like, I'm sure he's very sure of himself, but he's also in his 20s. And 20s, sure of yourself? For folks in your 20s, trust me, you're not going to feel later in your life that you're as correctly sure of yourself.
I know a guy that was so sure of himself, he jumped out of a 3-story building for a bet.
Really?
Five bucks.
Wow.
And like,
what happened?
He ruptured his back.
Sure.
But he got $5.
Wow, there you go.
So
that's something. $5.
I mean, that's got to be worth it for the rest of your life being in pain.
Sure, I would think, because you got to say you did it.
Right. Ta-da.
Ta-da. Yes, indeed.
But, you know, that's stuff my mother would never let me do. And still would.
Jump out of a building? Good for you.
I would jump out of a building, go down a BMX track like that. You know, never. Never would she let me do that.
Never would she ever. Yeah, that should be a new drinking game for the people that led the more pedestrian life. such as yourself and me. Never would they ever let me use a BMX down a really serious track.
Yeah,
never
right.
Would they ever.
Right, and then you get the steps, and then they went to, like, the escalator that was turned off. You know, they went down 2 escalators.
Yeah, right.
It's like, I mean, my mom didn't even want me walking down the escalator when it was stopped. You know, it's like,
right.
Let alone riding it down
on
a bicycle.
Turn on suddenly. No, there's a key. No. It could turn on. You don't know.
That's not safe.
I read somewhere one time.
Yes. I mean, she did the, she did all that. It's like my best friend's cousin's sister's uncle's neighbor's kid.
And their head taken off in one of those things.
Right. Don't let your son play with a wooden spoon. My cousin's nephew's next door neighbor's kid had a wooden spoon in his mouth, and the part came out and he choked on it. They had to take him to the hospital.
And went through his eye.
Right. Could never hear again.
Very good. And that's why he couldn't walk at his graduation day. Always gets worse in a way you wouldn't expect. It's like a group tale. Right. For sure. It just keeps getting worse and worse.
That's just.
Yeah. We had those stories. You could have gotten killed.
Yeah, they had.
Right. But simultaneously, they'd be like, yeah, get out of the house. Don't go back till the lights come on.
Yeah, I mean, that was.
They don't want you. The two places they don't want you are in the hospital or in their hair.
That was the, you know, that was the, you know, the mixed messages of the 70s, you know?
Mixed message, to say the least.
They was,
I'd call the book We Love You Now Get Out Parenting in the 70s.
Right.
That's what I'd call it.
I mean, seriously.
Or 80s, we can go on the same.
I didn't ride in a car.
When did parents start caring about their kids again? That's like the millennials, right? Is that the difference?
I don't
know. That's why the millennials are different than us. Because, like, you know, we should be alive and respected. Like, what? What are you talking about?
That's why we can't just understand them exactly.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, it's like, you know,
I have rights. They'll say, like, I don't know what those. I don't know if that's a grammatically correct sentence.
My brother's 5 years younger than me. I mean, like, my mom put him in a car seat. It's like car seat. I sit on the. I sit
is
on
that
the
thing the with the belts over it, right? Yeah, crazy.
I sit on the front seat and you know, and balance myself, you know, my hands on the dashboard. That's how I rode in the car.
My sister and I would stretch out in the back seat and take naps.
Yeah, right.
I started wearing a seatbelt regularly when in high school when we had a car that had an automatic seatbelt thing on it.
One of the Fords.
Probably a junior.
One of those Ford jobbies.
Yeah.
An Escort or something.
Some, a Taurus perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something like that. One of those things.
We think we have so much. We put so much stock in the safety of this vehicle that we're going to just put the seatbelt on for you.
Right.
Good luck. Oh, wait. Don't get into a crash, by the way. No reason.
Because we still had the old 70s cars that were made out of like 5 tons of steel. And then you had these things that were made out of like a recycled Coke can.
Yeah, right. But that is interesting.
They crumpled. They had crumple zones.
Did you ever see the they did a crash test where they took it was like a 1967 Malibu and a 2000 Malibu, and they like crashed them together, like not a head on, you know.
And
where
they went traveled back in time, and it turned out it emerged as a 78 Malibu.
Right. No, they crashed them. They like did it pretty much head on, you know, near head on.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And man, the 67 Malibu just like crushed, and you know
it won. Of course, it won.
No, it was safer to be in the newer car. I mean, the newer car just crumpled to pieces, but like
right, but it was designed to crumple in the proper way.
Right.
The engine would fall out.
Right.
No, I'm not joking.
That's no, you're right.
Part of the thing.
Yeah.
As soon as there's a high enough impact on the front of the car, the engine drops. The whole block drops.
Yeah, so it doesn't come at you and run you over.
Makes sense, yeah.
Bowl you over.
It took him to the mid-80s to figure that one out.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe we should design these cars so they could take a little hit. And the person operating them isn't going to die.
Maybe walks away. It's kind of new.
Right, well,
that
yeah,
kind of thinking is polluted millennial and Gen Z thinking.
The safety glass. Well, the safety glass was, you know, that was
older than that. I mean,
that was much older. Because, you know, before it was just like plate glass window, you know, and like you just get these shards. People would just get impaled by these shards of glass.
Yeah, I thought that came out in the 70s.
The safety glass?
Yeah.
It might have been.
I gotta look. Safety glass cars. Let's see. Don't mind me. You can talk.
Hey, you know,
safety glass first used in cars. Just a few letters.
Laminated safety glass first in the 1920s.
Well, it wasn't in regular use though. 1930s became laminated tempered glass. That's it. And it was found they've implemented in 1970. That's what I guess I'm thinking. It's when the NHTSA was formed. National Highway Transportation Safety Administration.
Yeah, and they said you're gonna use this. All right.
Yep. Strength required to maximize windshield retention during accidents. That's probably what I was thinking. Yeah, I don't know that it was in cars regularly until like then.
Okay.
So saith Schwer Volkswagen. Well, thank you, Schwer Volkswagen.
But it was, you know, actually, you know, it was Pittsburgh Plate Glass.
PPG.
That came up with the, you know, economical way to make that glass. Made it, you know, less expensive and more widely available. So
very cool. And they, Pittsburgh, yet again.
Yes. Saving the world again. Not just the fish. PPG also.
Not just the fish.
Yes. So
speaking of Pittsburgh, you know, saving the world again. Good 2 weeks so far. I'm very happy with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So.
Yes. I am too. It's been a little, you know, a little weird watching them, but I'm glad. I'm liking it. I don't feel like it's the season yet. I mean, they didn't have the preseason and, you know,
no.
And just coronavirus and a lot of, you know, barely anybody in the stands. And
I was reading an interesting write-up. The big mystery of the NFL this season is why kickers are missing so much.
Yes. I saw that.
A lot of ace kickers just ain't making the kicks. And what I didn't see recommended or discussed as a possibility is that perhaps fan psychic energy is not there to will the kick to go through the uprights more often. That's what I'm thinking. What else do we got? They practice as much as everybody else did, apparently. And all of the other, that's one article, we probably read the same article. All of the other stats have gone in the right direction. Less penalties. Less missed tackles. All of that. Except the kickers are missing more often. So I'm going to blame one second energy. Because it's funnier that way.
Yeah. Wonder why that is.
Due to that or air pressure from the fans exerting on the stadium. Maybe that.
Oh, yeah. Maybe they kind of just, they kind of like dead in the space.
Well, they breathe, you know.
Oh,
cause some, just a tiny little bit of change. Anything. Troy boy, Graham, the 70s was great. So much freedom. No seatbelts. Fishing drive trips were measured in six packs. Could roam the woods in relative safety. Yes, I agree, Troy boy. I was talking about that with my wife tonight. We were listening to a memorial service online. And they're talking about people growing up back in the day. And this is even before. This is like the 50s and 60s. They all, everyone knew each other, would go out and kind of do their thing. The world seems at the same time right now, both overprotected and more dangerous, if that makes sense.
Yeah, is it though? You can't do this. I mean, I can, because I live in the same neighborhood that I grew up in. Like I can say, hey, you know, I'd be okay with my kids doing what I did when I was growing up, or you know, I wouldn't. You know, I could make that determination, but you don't live in the same area that you did.
I remember seeing a like study this guy did where he just like pulled people in his like Maine town. So this is like Maine. We're not talking like New York City or whatnot. Like, but Maine. He's growing up and he was a kid. He could go from his like little house or whatever, little house in the Maine, whatever, Barry. And like on a given day, he could go from there to town, center of town, no accompaniment when he was like eight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, he's in town. Hey, pick up a thing at the store. He's in town. And then like these days, the far ranging kids are like maybe a quarter mile away from their house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like if you see an 8 year old by himself somewhere now.
Man, you're calling somebody.
Yeah, what's he doing out? Where's he? Where's his parents? Is he lost? Does he need help? You know,
something's amiss when you see an 8 year old alone. You're not saying, oh, yeah, the parents probably sent him into town to go buy something.
Right.
Yeah, no way. No way.
It's just not safe? Is it just not safe?
Well, at the very least, it's not safe from people going to come arrest you. There was a couple that was in the D.C. suburbs, and they live in a little development or whatever. Send the kids out to play, as you would think. Yeah, go out and play, kids. Where do they go play? The local area, like...
Park.
Little, you know, swing sets and whatnot. We're not talking like in the woods. You know, like a completely fabricated for kids playing area. They go down and play there. You know, the whatever, the child and welfare officials were called in, or maybe were just doing a sweep of the area. Show up, two unaccompanied kids. Man, those parents got to go to jail. Now, they didn't do any real time, but they got taken to jail. And, you know, like, talked their way out of it, probably paid bail. Kids had to go to a foster home or something for, like, you know, at least for a night or something. Which is, you know, not the best experience for them, I'm sure.
Oh, and I'm sure the parents had to go to counseling, and they had to get, you know, a talking to and counseling, and they had to be monitored.
Sure. Exactly. In danger of kids like that having to go play at a playground, and you're not there. It's crazy, man. Like, not even just a, hey, you might want to keep an eye on your kids, but no, no. This is worth spending taxpayer dollars on. So, yeah, that can happen. So, yeah, crazy. Although, for all that, I did see something came up in the chat that reminded me of this. There have been a lot of these child rings or child, like, sex rings, I guess, getting busted up, getting broken up. And, yeah. And, wow, that's kind of scary to see a lot of them, huh?
Yeah. No, yeah, it
I
is.
Mean, I must have seen, like, I'm going to just go ahead and say I've read about two or three at the least, just, and I'm not, like, like a hawk, but yeah. I'm just like, you know, I read the news.
Atlanta, right?
It comes up. There's one in Atlanta. There's another one recently. I was up by Chicago. Yeah, right. And I don't know. Are they getting better at catching them, or is it, you know, are they happening more often?
Right. You know, it's not that, you know, they just had more kids back then. It's like, well, you know, we had.
Oh, and here we have no, the government. Well, here's someone's fact checking. No, so says this thing. Although NBC News says massive pedophile ring busted, 230 kids saved. That was. This is NBC News. In case anyone's saying, oh,
it's
WNBC.
WNBC.
Genius. No. NBC.
WNBC. Sorry. I could do that all night.
Movie. Fantastic movie.
Yes. Pig Vomit.
Massive online pedophile ring. Oh, this is online. Okay. So let me read about this. The government just found 39. So the Twitter uses tracks out traffic and inserts missing children in a double-wide trailer in 2 weeks across 7 states. It's been a pretty big story. It sounds like they did break up a ring, though. Simple headlines obscure the complex realities of abuse. I hate when they call it sex work and the real threats to American children. I just hate seeing it come up in the same story, sex work. Like, I'm not naive. I get that it's a thing. But, like, when people are underage, it's maybe not sex work anymore. I don't know.
Yeah. Right.
Thousands. Right now, missing children, 1,000. So, was this a trafficking bust or not? Nope. This was not a designated any trafficking operation. They located 78 critically missing children. The term means they could be at risk for sex trafficking, but they also could be at risk of parental abuse. Sounds like much the same problem. Or at medical conditions. Found all but 13 of the 78 missing children. 65 they located, 39 were recovered, meaning they're removed from whatever situation they were in, but that could be living on the streets. Okay, so I guess that's what's hanging out.
It seems like, you know, social media, the internet, it seems like a, you know, the dark web, you know, the black market can kind of operate much more efficiently. I mean, I can see that we live
it's,
in a.
I mean, it's horrifying, right? So, I mean, they do say that it's right here. Stranger danger kidnappings, on the other end, are extremely rare. The latest estimate is only 115 per year. Yeah, I get it. There's millions of kids, but that's still a Russian game of Russian roulette. I just don't want to play with my kids, you know. There's only 115 that get kidnapped. What could go wrong? That makes me terrified. That's just
horrific. I mean,
horrific to think about.
No, it is. But do you think that number would go up if it was the 1970s and all the kids were out? Would that number increase?
I don't know. I mean, like, people did go missing in the 70s, right? I mean, there were, like, stories about it and cases and whatnot. So, I mean, 70s had their serial killers for sure.
Sure. Sure. I mean, but did you know anybody in your school the entire time you were in school that some kid just went missing?
Missing abducted? No. No.
No.
But there was a guy on the radio who talked about it. I think this guy did that study. I think there was a kid missing who went missing from that town.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it does happen. And, like, I think I'd be, if I was a kid and, like, someone I knew got abducted, I'd be traumatized.
Yeah, I know for sure. There was a in my town. There was a one of my friends next door neighbor. There was a what do you say? Mentally.
Until neck to geek?
No, he was like I don't know. Mentally insane, it seemed like.
Oh, okay.
And one day he just went and terrorized the neighbor kids and like locked them in their room and you know, when their parents weren't home and you know, terrorized them. And I heard about that, and it just like I had nightmares over that. Like I had vivid dreams of like looking out my window and seeing this guy, you know, staring in my window, and it scared me. And I didn't even know what the guy looked like. It wasn't until high school that I actually saw the guy for the first time. And I saw the guy because I was cutting the person's grass. And, like, you know, like, he came out. And, like, I was bagging the grass. And he's like, he said to me, he's like, oh. He's like, you want this grass in cellophane? And I said, and I'm like, I didn't know what he's talking about. He meant put it in, you know, the trash, the bag tree. And he's like, and I said, oh, okay. He's like, you got a nice temperature lawnmower there. You know, I hate it when my mower has got a different temperature. It starts making sparks and they fly off and they scare the birds off the wires up there. And my younger brother was helping me cut grass and he heard that. And he took off.
Right.
He went home. He's like, nice. I am not helping you anymore here. I'm out.
I'm out.
And it was unnerving to me because, like, I knew what this guy had done before and I didn't trust him. And then he's talking crazy like that. I mean, that is talking crazy as far as I'm concerned. And I was very uneasy. I didn't want to be there anymore either. And that was the last time.
Yeah,
that was the last time I went.
Your brother.
Yeah, that was the last time I was there. So, but yeah. So I mean, yeah, I've, you know, you said, you know, someone getting abducted or terrorized. Well, yeah, it happened to me, and man, it just scared me. It's, you know.
I hear you, man. Scary stuff.
And
but
so
we survived the 70s. We made it through.
We did.
Into the 80s, into the 90s.
Talk about uncomfortable.
Heard some good music.
Talk about uncomfortable. I went to my grandfather. He was a security guard at a mental institution. And one of the places he was like a campus. And some of the people got to like wander the grounds. And they would just kind of walk around by themselves. And that, you know, having some of this knowledge about, you know, the what happened in my neighborhood, you know, just think there's a bunch of them walking around, you know.
Right.
And, you know, my grandfather, he's like, oh, you know, come to work with me, you know, hang out with us for a little bit. And I'm like, okay, you know, not really. But and then he takes me into the building where he worked, and obviously, you know, we walk down the steps, and there's like this exam table that looked like, you know, it was out of Frankenstein, and there was a actual real boned skeleton, full skeleton,
wow,
hanging there, talking about like, you know, freaking me out. And then we go outside and there's these patients walking around and they come up and, you know, try to bum cigarettes off my dad or my grandfather. You know, it's just, man, that was quite the day, I'll tell you.
I believe you.
And then, you know, they were like, you know, you're adults. They're like, ow, "Ah, why don't you act like you're a plane, you know?" And he's like, he's like flying around, you know, like with his arms, like a kid would do, you know, and making airplane sounds and everything. And it's just like, I was like, can we go home now? You know, and getting close to me. And I'm like, I'm glad my dad's here because, like, I wouldn't know what to do or, more, you know, just really scary. It's really scary stuff.
Yeah, it is for sure.
So, I mean, obviously, you know, what obviously mental institutions have been shut down. Where, you know, those people in homes, those people are just, where are those people now? They're
there are people in mental, who are, used to be mental institutions.
Yeah, they're just hanging out at people's, they're with their parents or.
Well, there's a few different things. So, a lot of them get SSDI, which in turn they will spend on housing provided through Section 8. That's a lot of it. Some of them will be in group homes. They have money from the state and the feds. Also, yeah, like you said, family dwellings.
Right.
A little bit of all that.
Well, what is the best place for people like that?
I don't know that I'd say the mental institutions were a good place for them. There's a lot of like abuse, and they lost a lot of rights because they were, you know, mental institutions kind of in their heyday. It was just kind of warehousing people,
right?
So they just knock you out with some severe drugs, heavy drugs, and that's how you kind of like live your life in like a stupor.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good.
No.
Yeah, it's tough to say where they do belong. Ideally, I think it would be like in a community that would encourage independence, living a good life as best they can.
Yeah, I mean, but the owl that's, you know, pretending like he's a plane or a truck, or, you know, he's just kind of like, you know, that's like, I mean, obviously, I mean, he can't go out and buy milk, you know, by himself.
Right.
I mean, what, yeah, it's just, I mean, I obviously, you know, it's a small portion of the population, and yes, they were just congregated in this area. You know, there was a couple. There was Mayview, there was Woodville, there was Dixmont. Those are the three I knew in this area. I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot. There's more, but you know, they kind of take them there.
Yeah, Mayview was the big one. It was a big state hospital.
So my grandfather, he was like the he was just a calm guy, and he spoke very gently, and all the patients respected him, right? And like I said, they had free rein to walk around. If I told you the story, let me know.
I mean, the world doesn't know.
Yeah, so they got free rein to walk around, and my grandfather was a, you know, he did security there. He went home. He lives like 3 minutes away. They called him up at home and they said, "Frank, you got to get down here. There's a one of the patients escaped. He has a gun and he's got it pointed on. He's got a hostage."
Wow.
"Okay, I'll be right there." So he goes up and they're like, What are you gonna do? You know, want to take a gun, Frank?" He's like, "I got this." He's like, "Well, what are you going to do?" He's like, "Just let me handle this." So he goes up to the hill, and he sees the guy holding the, you know, the person at gunpoint. And he's like, "Hey, Tom." And the guy's like, "Hey, Frank." He's like, "Put the gun down." He's like, "Is it going to be okay?" He's like, "It's going to be okay. Put the gun down. Everything's going to be fine." "Okay, I'll do it for you, Frank." And he puts the gun down, and it was over. Like a situation that like had gone on for like 30 minutes or so. And I don't know why the state police didn't show up.
Actually, I think we had that conversation before about, like, how do you handle how can the police handle people with, like, mental illness. I really do think that it's not a bad idea to have people on call that can just tell these people down. It really isn't a bad idea. Like, it's not, like, I'm not trying to assign blame to, like, people in different situations, but let's
parse that a little bit. I mean, you know, the person stole a gun, held somebody else at gunpoint, and my grandfather, who was not a healthcare official,
and that's the thing. It's not necessarily they need somebody with a title, right?
Right.
They need somebody who can do that.
Right.
Like, you can study animals all day, but if you're bad at animals, you're just bad at animals.
Right. And right. So he, right. They, I mean, if there was the, healthcare professional that,
like they're like an administrator their whole life and like they can tell you, how much it costs to like house certain number of people for a year. That's
and,
one thing.
And how many, dosage of, drugs to give them.
You gotta titrate that first. Okay. Yeah, but calm that guy down now. They don't jump on that ball.
Right. And police can do that, right? They should be able to do that.
Yeah, right. But that doesn't mean like...
That doesn't mean they're good at it.
Right. That's not saying they shouldn't be aware of escalation, de-escalation. But sometimes it's better to call the guy who's good at de-escalation than that's the whole... thing rather than somebody might be a little keyed up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But the other thing is that there was a history between my grandfather.
Yeah, well, that's the other side of it.
My grandfather and the patient.
The other thing that I think that the modern system gets wrong is that people kind of like, they're very alienated and isolated. You know, there's someone checking in, make sure they take their meds, and that's like it. So they're not like in a community, right?
Yeah, there's no friendship, as it were, there. No relationship. Yeah.
And, you might be able to like, F them, they're all nuts. But here's the thing. If they're nuts and, like, alienated and, like, angry at the world, you're going to have a bigger problem than if they're, like, generally happy.
Yeah. And
however that happy can come.
And my grandfather understood that. I mean, he did not, I mean... Yeah, he knew they were nuts, but he didn't treat them like that. He treated them like they were people, they had feelings, because they do.
Just because they're nuts doesn't mean they're not people, but, they we should be saying neuroatypical, and I understand we're saying we're, using the term loosely. My apologies.
Well, but,
layman's speech.
We're back to the 70s, okay? I'm sorry. I apologize.
We're back in the 70s, probably the 70s. For sure. So, when... somebody has those issues. Better that they've got someone like your grandfather who knows them. I was like, yeah, okay, I get it. I'm calm. This is somebody I know. I know they respect me. I like them. And they say, okay, here's the gun bag. And then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of need the system that has that happen. And that's better off than a system that's like, here's these meds. We want you to take them every so often. We're going to have someone to make sure it comes in and counts the pills and make sure you are taking them.
Check your tongue. Right.
Check your tongue. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want that.
So,
because,
yeah. I mean,
they'll get a little antsy at some point, and then you're going to have some problems.
Yeah, right. So that's interesting. I know that we're talking about, changing police forces and changing their roles. And I'm sure.
And I just mean that's something could happen for the positive. I mean, like, I'm going to stay out of, the defund movement. And some people really want to defund it, but some people, that's not really what I mean. Some say, that is what I mean. And I'll stay out of that. Generally speaking, it's better to have people who can calm folks down than it is to not.
Yeah, right. Right. Agreed. I mean, at the same time, it's, we need people like that. And, I mean, my grandfather didn't have a gun. He didn't have a gun with him. So, like, if that went wrong...
It was going to go wrong.
It was going to go wrong, right? He knew
what. I had to. I told you this before. I mean, I was worked in mental health way back when. I had to kind of sit with a guy who was getting therapeutic and voluntarily committed in Pennsylvania. And, you know, my boss's counsel before she sent me upstairs was just... You know, just keep him calm. Police will calm. They'll take him out. As long as he's calm, everything's going to be okay. And that's what I did. I was in my early 20s. But he knew me. We talked enough. So he waited with me. And they came and he was calmed down. And it wasn't anything special I was doing. It was just he happened to know me. We talked a number of times. Quite a number of times. Respect me enough. Knew I respected him. So... Police came, he just kind of went along with him and it was okay. You kind of need that ongoing thing because you can't just have like the calmer, the whisperer who meets them in 2 minutes. It helps if you have that person. And I would have those people, but even better is when they have somebody they know already.
Yeah, you can't call in Samuel Jackson as the negotiator.
No, but... I mean, there are people like that and they do. And like they actually, they're ones who've been out of situation a lot and that's a thing. You can get good at it. But they're going to prefer that they had a friend. You know, that person's going to say, maybe you wouldn't have to call me all these times if you just got to talk to him during the week. And I think that's very true.
Right. So, man, that's probably something we should probably be a part of, too. I mean, there's the there was a thing that happened in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where...
We were talking about that last week, and the initial, I don't know what you call it, reporting or sentiment maybe, was that it was a wrongful shooting.
Right. And then we saw the camera. You saw the camera.
And the guy, it wasn't just may have had a knife or saw the knife, but wasn't, you know, he was, you know, whittling with it. He was like, what I saw, like really menacing with the knife.
He was brandishing a big kitchen knife.
Like, not just like had it out. He was like swinging it.
Yeah, right.
Right, brandishing it, like you said.
I'm going to use it.
Yes.
You know.
So in that situation, and I don't think, has there been a lot going on up there? I haven't heard it.
I really believe it de-escalated greatly.
Because I think he was swinging a knife around.
Yeah, when these people saw the video.
The video, they're like, I think there's, and this is a good thing. So, I mean, there's been people, and I'm not going to stand up for looters, but I mean, the idea that, like, you know, people want to jump on anything and they'll ignore facts. Thankfully, I think this shows that wasn't the case.
Right.
Which is good. You don't want people to just jump at no facts. So, and good that it would settle down. It's a small town. Not the type of place that could handle like a big uprising or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah, for the best that it was what it was. I'm sure the cop isn't like, yeah, that I killed him again. Like, I feel he probably just dropped his weapon, didn't necessarily, you know.
Well, his life
wasn't like popped up to shoot somebody down that day.
No.
I was, you know, felt threatened. I feel threatened when I saw that.
He's feeling, he was being pursued. And,
right. The guy was, you know, coming right at him. So
he's like, he's probably thinking, he's a younger guy. He can probably run faster than me and pursuing me. And I really have no other recourse. I have to, you know, use what I have, my defenses at hand. You know.
Yes.
So. Well, hey, we got, want to get your little thoughts. And I mean, when the next, not little thoughts, you have great thoughts. In the next 10 to 15 minutes here. About the, you know, the passing of the great Justice.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
Yes. That's, you know, I've seen from both sides of the aisle that everybody has had, you know, great admiration for this lady, for her and yes. And you know how she is, how she has protected herself.
I haven't heard any disparaging remarks about her.
No, no, not at all. People are in awe of her abilities, of her decisions, her concise language. You know, the narrowing of ideas into you know, cogent thoughts and sentiments. I mean, it's just amazing woman.
Yep. And now what we're caught up in is the aftermath of the appointment.
Right. Right.
So let me ask this. So you're dead on friends for a moment, so I can ask you. So what's your take on Mitch McConnell's thing? It's like, so he's doing right by the party. Like, what's your take?
You know, I mean, I think you know, he's playing politics. Yet I think he's playing politics for a purpose. I do believe he's playing purpose for politics. You know, I think, you know, I've seen, maybe this is not you know, Democrats at large, but I've seen a lot of sentiments that say, hey, we need to get a lot of, you know, as many liberal judges appointed as we can, right?
And neither side is arguing for a firm principle, right? Or, oh, we'll take principle out of it. Neither side is asking for a firm rule. Like, the Republicans' stance was, well, it's an election year, and yeah, I know there's nuance that Mitch added into it. So last time it's an election year, we shouldn't hold the hearings this year. They will. So that's not consistent. However, on the other side, the Democrats said, you know, the first time, and I think rightfully so, under Obama, you know, I'm appointing somebody I want a hearing. That should be the principle now, too. And, like, my take is this. If I was to go back and rewrite the rule, I would say either. So here's how the process, I think. If I could go back time, talk to just Madison, we do a lot of penning of the Constitution, I think. I'd say, hey, James, instead of they have to send it to the Senate for approval, I would say the president submits the name. Either the Senate calls a hearing or they're appointed. That's the rule I would have.
Huh. Yeah, if you don't give this person, he or she,
if it doesn't rise to Senate business, va bene. That means you must not feel that it's important enough to say no. And if it does rise important enough to say no, then you'll hold a vote.
Mm-hmm.
That's the rule I would have.
Hmm.
And I do think that presidents in this position should be able to appoint people when there's a vacancy. So I don't have a problem now that they're appointing somebody. That's the job of the president. That's the job of the Senate. So appointing somebody having a vote is how things are supposed to work.
Yeah, no.
It should have happened that way last time, I think. And the fact that it didn't doesn't necessarily mean that – I mean, it's you know, Republicans blame both sides, but I mean the process should be always. Honestly, I still think they should just get appointed unless the Senate really has a reason not to.
Yeah, I can see that. No, so I it's kind of interesting. That was the NPR interview that I had. You know, and you know, John Roberts, right? He likened himself to the umpire, right? He calls the balls and the strikes, right? That's what he saw. A justice, his position, right? but if you come back and you say we want to get all the liberal judges we can, then To me, that doesn't sound like you really want an umpire. To me, that seems like, hey, you know, I'm going to make some iffy calls for the home
team. That's fine. That's okay. Like, if you don't feel that they're fit to be a judge, I just think they should hold the belt.
No, I understand. I understand. But so to further my point is, when I people are gonna disagree with me. But when I see that people say, well, we want to put conservative constitutionalist judges up there, means that they really want to put an umpire up there. They're not putting I mean, it seems like, you know, it's always the elephant in the room. You're going to put a judge up there.
The other side doesn't take that in good faith. The left doesn't take it in good faith that they're just trying to call balls and strikes. That's where you're at.
I get it. The left is concerned about, you know, somehow undoing Roe v. Wade.
Among other things, yeah, for sure. They're very concerned about Roe v. Wade. They're very concerned about ACA. There's a new Obamacare case. I think it's I don't know if hearing started or it's going up next week.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's an issue. So yeah, it's a number of different things. I think both sides distrust the other side's judges in a way that's, you know, kind of new. It wasn't as polarized as it is now. I think maybe around Clarence Thomas started getting very polarized. Maybe I guess it has been about 20 years, but like over time, it's gotten more and more contentious. typically, you know, judges just get like appointed. There's going to be a perfunctory hearing, and they would go. And I mean, honestly, I mean, that's kind of how I still think it should be. You know, if they really want to fight somebody being on the court, they can. But it kind of became, and it's both sides. Like, because Bork was a Republican nomination, probably Reagan. And he got blocked, and, like, it was a real, like, S show. And I think that kind of, like, kicked off a lot of the really kind of contentious and, you know, back and forth, getting the upper hand, that like both parties got more and more polarized. That's kind of where we're at now. And I'm not a fan of it. And yeah, judges be calling balls and strikes. Like, I don't know that I much care about the average judge and like what their, you know, political affiliation is, but when it gets up to Supreme Court level, it's like this huge deal. And yeah, they're talking about court packing. Which, I mean, it's not like you get 51 senators, you can pack a court. They're going to need like a constitutional amendment for that.
Of course, yes.
So it's not like even if Biden wins, you know, the odds of Biden wins, gets a Senate majority to the extent that he gets like a majority that can pass an amendment, a constitutional amendment, it's pretty low. I'm going to go ahead and say it's 0%. I don't think that's going to happen at all. So they can threaten that all they like. They're just not going to have that capability. Not this year. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's going to happen 2 years, but I don't think it'll happen 2 years either. But yeah, I wish Mitch would have held the vote. I think that made this more of a thing, and that means the next time this happens and Democrats are in this position, they're definitely not going to let the Republicans get somebody on. And it's going to turn into this thing where, you know, if we waited 1 year, why not wait 2 years? And it'll get ridiculous. And I don't know, you need people on the bench. I don't know, like Kavanaugh has been on, and I haven't, like, you know, other than his trial, I don't think he's been held up as any sort of like super crazed right-wing guy that I've been seeing. He's kind of been kind of quiet.
He has.
Yeah, and of course, I should do a lot more opinion writing from what I saw.
Yeah, I mean, the fear, you know, as soon as I get up there, hey, let's, you know, put women back in the kitchen and make them barefoot and pregnant again and have them no option for health care.
Yeah, well, they don't legislate. I mean, it all comes down to
the I know, exactly.
You know, laws. Oh, we lost? Yeah.
Huh?
I thought we were cut off.
No.
Yeah, Gorsuch actually, like, it was pretty interesting, like, because he's kind of a, you know, I don't know how to describe it. So he's kind of like a businessy kind of guy, I guess, or like that mindset, you know, more the contract mindset. So a state was kind of reneging on a contract with, like an Indian tribe and a Native American tribe, and he's like, he found with them, like, nope, you signed a contract. You owe them that, you know. So I think the issue was they couldn't have legal jurisdiction inside their reservation anymore. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, that's what you signed. Too bad. And it, you would think, like, well, law and order. Like, nope. Mm-hmm. Is that dry? Yeah, you've signed that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't care if it doesn't work out. That's not my problem. It was very, break a deal, face the wheel. And it was funny because the interpretation would have been, well, he won't do that if it's not going to be in the state, you know, in the state that he likes best interest. Well, he did.
Right.
So, you can't always tell how people are going to, you know, bank on the Supreme Court. We'll see. So.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
But yeah, that said, they should, you know, unfortunately, I think they should hold a hearing, you know, get a makeup penalty, you know, and to expect them to is kind of silly. They're not, then president they impeach, so you're like, well, you should wait for us now. That's not going to
happen. Yeah, they said that they were, Nancy Pelosi threatened to, impeach Trump if he puts
it doesn't matter. I just don't have to hear the, like, okay, vote. Anyone wants to impeach him? Anybody else?
Right, right.
Okay, yeah, back to the hearing.
He's impeached twice. Right, whatever. Yeah, whatever that's one. Yeah.
We're done. Yeah, it's not even a speedboat.
No, exactly. I know, you're right. The impeachment award is just, you know, it's not even worth it anymore to talk about.
Yeah, right. I mean, like, if something new were to actually have happened and it's, like, got merit on its own, maybe, but, like, the idea that they've got this deep bench of things that they can keep impeaching him on is only weakening impeachment.
Right. He's been impeached 37 times.
Right. He's the most impeached president of the United States.
Right. It's kind of a badge of honor at that point.
You've only got a minute left. What's your take on the election? What do you think is going to happen? I think it's Trump or Biden.
I think it's Trump. Hey, next week is the debate. You wanna have a little kind of debate party kind of thing?
Well, like, the after party, we'll be able to break it down, right?
Yeah, let's do that.
For sure. Yes, for sure. Definitely.
I'll watch it, you watch it, we'll get our little take on it.
Yeah, we'll get our takes. Yep, for sure. We'll do it.
I'm excited about it.
Thank you, world. Sorry for the late start. Thanks for listening.
Yes. And please check us out on flightgunfights.com or flightgf. flightgf.us.com. Oh boy. Well, okay, it's great. Have a good evening, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.